Morning's scripture reading from John chapter 8, verses 2 through 11. Early in the morning, he came again to the temple. All the people came to him, and he sat down and began to teach them. The scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery. And making her stand before all of them, they said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the very act of committing adultery. Now in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. Now what do you say?" They said this to test him, so that they might have some charge to bring against him. Jesus bent down and wrote with his finger on the ground. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, "Let anyone among you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." And once again, he bent down and wrote on the ground. When they heard it, they went away one by one, beginning with the elders. And Jesus was left all alone with the woman standing before him. Jesus straightened up and said to her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No one, sir." And Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go your way, and from now on, do not sin again." This is the word of the Lord.
Let us pray together. Lord our God, thank you. We give you praise, we give you glory for this day, for this church, for your word, for music, for forgiveness, for grace. Lord, we've come because you have brought us here today, whether we're here in person or online. You have made us part of this community. We've accepted the invitation to be in your presence today. And maybe we don't know exactly what the reason or the purpose is of us being here, but you know. You know what you want to say to each and every one of us today. So my prayer is simply, God, that whatever is in the way, whatever obstacle or resistance we might have in our lives, that your Spirit will take care of it, so that we can simply be here, be in your presence, be open for you speaking to us today. In the name of Jesus, amen. I tell you, it's been quite a year and a half, and so we are focusing on hope. Because the truth is, we all need hope. We need hope in our lives. We need hope in this world. We need hope in our church. And we can find hope in our relationship with Jesus Christ, and also the relationships we build with one another in the church. It brings some kind of hope. And so last week we looked at how Jesus invites us to find rest in him when we are weary and when we are burdened, and how we can share each other's burdens so that we don't have to walk through this life all alone. But maybe your need for hope does not stem from a weariness, but from a sense of brokenness instead. So I want you to imagine a beautiful vase. All right, and you're holding it in your hands, and it's fragile. And if you drop that vase, it will shatter into multiple pieces. And our lives are in many ways like that vase, because our lives are also fragile. The choices we make matter. Our decisions have consequences. And we've all had times when we've chosen poorly. We've all made mistakes. We've all fallen into sin. And with this, when this happens, it often feels like things break, right? Like things break in our lives. Like when you drop that vase and it breaks. You make certain choices and a relationship that you really value falls apart. You make a poor decision and your finances suffer. You make a mistake and you lose a job, or your marriage is strained. And when things fall apart as a result of sin, it leaves you feeling hopeless as you kind of try to pick up the pieces. And maybe you even feel abandoned by God when this happens. Or you feel judged by those around you. It's not uncommon when you experience brokenness in your life that you long for some kind of hope and restoration. Because there's no worse feeling than when sin finds us out. When your iniquity is exposed, when that happens, it causes you to feel shame and guilt. And I want you to know today that this does not have to be the end of the story. Because when Jesus meets us here, hope is here. So the woman in our scripture reading for today knew exactly what it felt like to be broken and in need of restoration. And here in chapter 8 of John, Jesus is traveling to the temple to teach. And as he sits down with the crowd, his teaching is interrupted by an angry mob of religious leaders who are dragging a woman along with them. And it says in verse 3, the teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery, and they forced her to stand before the people. They caught her in bed with another man who wasn't her husband, and somehow these men apprehended her in the middle of the scandal, and she's accused of adultery, and they make her stand in the middle of the crowd in front of Jesus. I mean, can you imagine how embarrassing that must have been for her? How humiliating. And she would have been fully aware of the consequences for her sin. The law of Moses required that a woman like this should be stoned to death. And so what you see in this woman is what brokenness really looks like. A broken marriage. A broken person, a broken reputation. This is a picture of what it's like to hit rock bottom. And so the first thought I want to share with you today is this. We've all experienced brokenness. The fact is, all of us, we all have experienced some kind of brokenness. And one of the things in this story that is most shocking is that the religious leaders are using this woman as a pawn, okay? They're using her in their plan to get rid of Jesus. They are exploiting her in front of everyone in order to harm Jesus. And not only did they expose her sin to everyone, but she was now also caught in the middle of all of this. And so they say to Jesus in verse 5, the law of Moses teaches that a woman like this should be stoned to death. What do you say? What do you say about this, Jesus? They were trying to trap him into saying something incriminating so that they could bring charges against him. I don't know if this has ever happened to you, by the way, where your sin was exposed and laid bare for everybody to see. On the one hand, it's one of the worst feelings possible. It's horrible because everyone knows the truth about you, right? On the other hand, it's also a kind of relief because finally everyone knows the truth about you. And you're not trying to hide it anymore. And you're not carrying it around by yourself anymore. So there's the pain and the hurt. But as the pain subsides, there's also the possibility of a fresh start, of a new beginning. And so here she was caught in adultery and put before Jesus. And she had lost hope that her fate would avoid a death by stoning. But then something surprising happens. Jesus intervenes. It says in verse 6, Jesus bent down and wrote with his finger on the ground. Does not agree to the woman's death on account of the law. And he does something different. So he stoops down and he writes in the sand with his finger. So what do you think is writing? It doesn't tell us exactly what he's writing. Maybe it's the names of the men who had brought the woman before Jesus. Maybe it's a list of all of their sins. Maybe it's a list of all of her sins. We don't know, but it doesn't matter because when they badger and push him for an answer, Jesus stands up and tells them they are free to proceed. Says, go ahead. Do it. Do it. But the sinless one among you, go first. Throw the stone. You who have never sinned, you go ahead. Throw the first stone. And when Jesus said that, the woman must have felt a little surge of hope inside of her, I guess. And so here's my second thought for today. The church, this is a place of hope. You see, sin does not happen in a vacuum. It often has collateral damage. Your sin touches other people. And it becomes common knowledge. And as important as it is for the sinner to respond rightly to a shameful mistake, it is equally important that the church responds rightly as well. Because we have all sinned before God. And so somehow we find hope in the midst of our brokenness when we acknowledge that we have all fallen short. Do you know what one of the most beautiful features of the fellowship of the church is? It is that we are able to extend forgiveness and grace to one another. You want to know why? Because we are all broken. We are broken people learning every day to live under the grace of God. And that's what Jesus is doing here. He's making a point. He's teaching this religious group a lesson about grace. If you cannot throw a stone at this woman, it's because you are guilty of breaking the law yourself. And so these men, one by one, drop their stones and they leave. It says first the older men leave, which is interesting. Maybe their wisdom and life experience caused them to understand this lesson better and first. Because if you've lived for a long time, you know something about forgiveness because you've been forgiven multiple times. And eventually the younger and perhaps more stubborn men follow as well. And as the dust settles, it's only Jesus and the woman who's left. And then Jesus stood up again and said to her, "Where are your accusers? Didn't even one of them condemn you?" "No, sir," she said. And Jesus said, "Neither do I. Go and sin no more." In my mind's eye, I can see Jesus looking at this woman with such compassion, with such love. And for the first time in her brokenness, she must have felt real hope. You see, Jesus is the only one in this story who does not condemn her for her mistakes. He's the only one who does not want to punish her for her wrongdoing. And what he does is he offers her grace instead. Because you see, the first word over us is love. What is most true about you is that you are loved by God. God does not determine your value based on how well you perform. God does not decide your worth based on your reputation. God calls you valuable because He made you, and your hope is found in a God who loves you just the way you are. God loves you just the way you are. But He loves you too much to leave you that way. And what we see at the end of the story is that Jesus does not condone the woman's sin. He approves of her, but He does not approve her sin. In fact, the last words He speaks to her are "go and sin no more." And so what it means is that Jesus cares about how we live our lives. He does. He cares about the decisions we make that leave us broken. And Jesus wants to expose the sin, but not for the same reasons as the religious leaders. So Pastor Stephen Furtick says it this way. He says, "God exposes sin not to shame us, but to change us." And what these men in the story did was they exposed this woman's sin to shame her and to trap Jesus. And Jesus exposes sin for a different reason. He wants to restore us. He wants to make us whole. He wants to change us. He wants to take the broken pieces and put them back together. Like when you take the time to painstakingly put that broken vase together again with some crazy glue or something. And so here's the last thought I have for this morning. God puts the broken pieces back together. He puts the broken pieces of our lives back together again. And that's the really good news today. If you find yourself broken, if you feel like you are surrounded by people who only want to throw stones, people who are harsh, people who have no grace to show in their lives, people who judge you, people who condemn you. If that's you, then I want you to know this. Jesus meets you here in this place, and hope is here. But you have a choice to make. And what you choose will determine the future that you will live into. You can choose to make no changes, and you can continue on your current trajectory. That's the path without hope. the path that seems hopeless. The other option you have is to confess your sin to God. Be honest about who you are and the struggle you have to stay on the right path. Be authentic. Be open about what you're facing. And receive His forgiveness and walk in new life. Because when we confess our sin and believe in Christ, then we are found in Christ. And Paul writes about this when he's speaking to the church in Corinth. And he says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, anyone who belongs to Christ is a new person. The past is forgotten. Everything is new. In Christ, we are made new. The old ways of living become things of the past, and God does something new in us. And you see, this place, all right, this church, is nothing more than a gathering point for a whole bunch of sinners who are learning every day how to live into this new life. And that's why the church should be the place where people find grace more readily than any other place on earth. Here is where you can find the grace of God. And here is where you can find grace from those with whom you fellowship. This is the place where people should not condemn you. This is the place where people should not throw stones. Because we're all in the same boat when it comes to our sin and our brokenness. And because of that, this is the place where you can find hope. So God forbid if you're one of those people who tend to judge and condemn other people for who they are or for what they've done. Remember what Jesus said. Those of you who are without any sin, go ahead. You pick up the first stone. And remember this, God forgives you when you ask. There's nothing that I can do that God and Jesus cannot forgive. So you should be willing to forgive others as well. Because I have been forgiven, I should extend forgiveness to others and welcome them into the family of faith. So finally, here's one way to describe this grace relationship that we have with God through Jesus Christ. Think about watching a trapeze show at a circus. And as you watch it, you realize it's breathtaking. And we marvel at the dexterity and timing. We gasp at the near misses. And in most cases, there's a net underneath. And when the trapeze artists fall, they jump up and bounce back to the trapeze. And so as followers of Christ, we live on the trapeze. And when people see our lives, they should be able to say about us, look how they love each other. Look how well they treat each other. Look how they forgive one another. Look how this church loves this community. That's what it's like to live on the trapeze as God's people. That's what the world should see. And so what happens when we slip and we fall? The net is surely there. The blood of our Lord Jesus Christ has provided forgiveness for all our trespasses. It's the safety net below us. And both the net and the ability to stay on the trapeze are simply works of God's grace. And so if you feel broken this morning, I want you to know that there is hope. And I want to invite you with your broken pieces to believe that that God can make something beautiful of your life once again. And I want to invite you to trust Him and to trust your faith community, this fellowship that you belong to, where we offer hope to one another and where we together live out God's gift of a life filled with His grace. Amen. Let us pray. Lord our God, grace is what changes us. Grace is what gives us hope. Thank you for the grace that we find in your Son, Jesus Christ, that you look at us through Him and His sacrifice on the cross, that you love us regardless of who we are, where we've been, what we've done. You love us because you made us. You love us because of Jesus bearing our sins on the cross. Thank you for that forgiveness. Thank you for that grace. I pray that that will give us hope that we find ourselves living a life of grace because of your Son, Jesus. And my prayer is, God, that we, in return, would offer that same grace to other people. And if there's anybody here today who is broken, who's broken by sin or by mistakes or by being judged by others or by being disappointing to some because of how they perceive life or whatever the case may be, may they find your grace and the hope in you restoring them and making them whole again and changing their lives on a day-by-day basis. Thank you for the gift of hope. We pray this in the name of Jesus and His grace. Amen.